Grace, get that large thing out of your mouth.
What, a burrito?
Oh, is that what that is?
It's a burrito.
Is it from Robberitos?
It's from Robberitos!
Is that a extra one? Or did you go purchase that?
It was an extra burrito.
Don't talk with your mouth full, Grace.
God. All right, I'm done.
It looks delicious. I want a bite.
It is amazing. You should have one. You had one a couple years ago when you did the Robberitos run.
Yeah, I should have came back. Hey, let's talk about it after the show, after we start this, the beginning of the show. What do you say?
That sounds good.
All right, you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Grace, us runners just like to run, but there are some fun facts and useful bits of knowledge you can throw in the mix. So let's talk about some of them on episode number 56.
Yeah.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right. Business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Oh, Robberitos Gut Run Challenge. That's the official title, right?
Yeah, the Robberitos Gut Run Challenge. That's where I was Saturday volunteering and watching people run and eat burritos. It was fun.
So you volunteered. Thank you for that. Always volunteers should always be thanked. How many burritos did you eat just as a volunteer? Did you eat any?
Two. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a morning burrito, and then I had an after party burrito.
Makes sense. Yeah. I heard there was some throwing ups. James Weaver.
Yeah. There were quite a few people who ate their burritos and then deposited at least part of their burritos out on the side of the road. Yeah.
What a waste. What a waste of delicious burrito.
I know.
Oh, well, I guess that's the whole point, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun day. We were happy to have people come from all over to come to Robberitos. It was a blast. And shout out to Jeff Kearns for being first place.
I heard. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Good for him. I guess he came into it like serious and like no fun. Can't have fun when you win, but man, he must have stayed to the stuck to the plan.
He wasn't planning on winning. He had fun. He ate all of his burritos. So he did it right, but he's having a good year. So there
that's
you go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that Robberito challenge is going to look really good on Ultra Sign Up, you know, it races.
I know there were two people, at least it was their first half marathon ever. The one guy, he'd only done a 5K, and then the other guy had not done any, like, I think it was his first race ever. Guy Corey, and so that was pretty cool to see these couple of people who just had never done a half marathon, and that's what they chose as their first half marathon was this burrito run. The one guy, it was this Alan, it was his first half marathon, and he signed up for it the night before. So that was super fun. And then got to ride bikes with Tess yesterday up in Pine Creek, and the roads were icy.
Do you want to tell everybody why you're riding bikes up in Pine Creek?
I will. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got off of the wait list for the Canyon Man 100, and now I've figured out, oh shoot, I'm off the wait list. I need to. Which I've had the Candyman 100, let me back up, back it on up.
Beep, beep, beep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the Candyman 100 is a 19-mile kayak, a 31-mile trail run, and it is a trail run with 5,000 feet of gain. It's a no-joke trail run.
West Rim Trail. Beautiful trail.
On the West Rim Trail. And then a 50-mile bike ride that is half gravel road and then half rail trail. And you have 24 hours to finish it. And it is completely self-supported. It's completely self-navigated. There's no help and a very small field. 15. And you can do it as, 15 people. You can do it as a relay. You can do it solo. I have had this as a dream of mine for 5-6 years, something like, I mean, it's been around since 2017. Mm. So almost since the beginning, I've had this as a dream and I've never felt strong enough to do it. But last year I did start increasing my biking specifically for this race. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I got out on the water more last year. Because it's the kind of race that you can't really train for in the winter. You kind of have to train for it the year before. So last summer I started to do some work thinking, if I can get in, maybe this will help. And, so I'm in.
That's awesome. You'll do fine. You'll love it.
I'm pretty excited. So Tess and I, we did the gravel.
Yeah. Run. Your choice of getting on that gravel road. I know where it is and where it was at the end of March. Boy, you guys, that wasn't a smart move. There's spots that don't defrost until well in April.
I was driving up there. So the race is in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, which is almost in New York State. And I was driving up on the highway and I see these cars coming the opposite way and they have snow on them. And I'm like, that's not a good sign. No. And sure enough, the gravel roads were iced over. And so our times were just so slow because we really had to be careful. I did wipe out once. It wasn't bad. I was fine. So thankfully I did a lot of mountain biking last year because that involved a lot of falling. And so I've gotten pretty good at falling. And, but we had a good time yesterday. I just got done with a run, group run, Scrubby's run, and, had some fun on that. So
yeah, and you saw the hardest part of the biking. So the rest of the biking is on rail trail back to the Burning Barrel. So yeah, it's good. Yeah. I guess you call it. Yeah. West Rim Trail, you're going to love every bit of it. Beautiful trail.
Yeah, I've never run it before, so I'm pretty excited to see the West Rim. And right.
Enough about you.
How was your weekend?
I'm cutting you off.
Okay.
My weekend was pretty uneventful. Went on a couple runs, but that's about it. Took Lauren off for her first drive on Sunday. She got to get in the driver's seat.
That was interesting. That.
Yeah. Baby steps. Baby steps.
She's going to do awesome. She's going to do awesome.
No, we're deep into the track season here. So anyway, let's bring on our guest, Grace. Why don't you introduce our guest?
Oh, I'm so excited to introduce our guest for many reasons. And we're going to bring her on, Jen Brazzi. She is an amazing person, amazing friend, and we have so many things to talk about. Jen, hi.
Hi.
So we wanted to have Jen on for a couple of reasons. Can we talk about one thing really quick, though, which is the amazing Jasmine Paris?
It's worth mentioning. Yeah, it was a cool story this weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Jen, what were your reactions?
Oh, I was so excited. I wasn't able to follow it being at work all day long. But I was like looking for updates from like that you shared or on the spreadsheet and stuff like that. So I saw that she finished like a half hour late. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, that was such a cool finish to see. And I thought about you. I don't know if you followed her career much, but she is a mom. She's a mom of two, and she ran through her pregnancy, at least her first one. I'm not sure if she ran through her second one, but I know she ran through her first pregnancy. She was feeling good and well-monitored and kept running. And you, my dear, also have a bun in the oven, and you have been running through it.
Yes.
So how has that been going, and when are you due, and tell us about that.
Yeah. We're plugging away. We've got, basically two more months. So I'm doing June, like mid-June. So, and the third trimester this past weekend, that was a milestone there. So far I've done a marathon and an ultra in each trimester. So first, November, December, and then I just did this past 50K in March. So it's been going good. It's a learning curve for sure. And each race has been something different to learn and focus on, and like a nuance that I didn't necessarily expect or that I did plan for, but not quite maybe how I would have like the next time. So it's like always kind of a moving target of what you have to think about, which is fun, but also like a little bit like, okay, what are we going to get into today?
Wow. Wow. Kudos to you. Do you have a race lined up for third trimester?
Yeah, I'm doing April Foolish in April. Nice. So it's the 10-hour loop. So it'll be, cause mm-hmm. I will be quite close to my due date. So it's a 4-mile loop that is close to a parking lot and I can walk and yeah.
Nice. Well, congratulations. Glad to hear that it's going well.
Thanks.
But I thought of you when I was, no Barkley for you yet.
No,
at least. But it was very cool to watch Jasmine Paris come across the finish line at the Barkley Marathons. First female. There has to be somebody who goes first, and then hopefully many more women completing the Barkley Marathons. And congrats to the gentlemen. Four gentlemen finished as well. John Kelly. Mm-hmm. I've been following his career as well. He's a beast out on the trail. So it was very cool.
Yeah, he's tied for the most finishes now. Oh, yeah. Barkley. Three.
He ran, which Jen, you ran, you did you know John Kelly ran Miner's Lady?
No.
Yeah, the first year.
Oh, that's
was
fun.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So a race that Jen and I have both done, he ran down there, which was kind of neat, down in West Virginia. Yeah. So on to other things. Can I tell you a story, Eric?
Story time already? We're not going to go through some fun, interesting facts right into your story?
Right into my story. I have story time.
All right, go ahead. Make it somewhat fast, but interesting.
Got it. I'll make it fast, but interesting. Yeah, I thought so, Matt. Jared Campbell has four finishes.
Oh, I thought I read somewhere today they were tied.
Jared has one more. Yeah. Okay. Anywho. All right. We got that out of the way. Story time. So I was at Blazing Saddles. I was volunteering at Blazing Saddles, and there was a runner who came up to me and had said, and I was kind of standing in front of the first aid kit while this runner came up and said, hey, do you have any ibuprofen? And I was like, yes, I think there's ibuprofen in here. So I searched in the bag, I found ibuprofen. And then I had said, you take this at your own risk. That's on you. And he kind of looked at me funny, and his buddy started making small talk with me. His buddy who was standing next to him, yeah, my wife is a nurse practitioner, blah, blah, blah. And we're kind of talking back and forth about the use of ibuprofen. And I had said, yeah, I just finished a long race. In fact, when I did Conquer the Wall, I said one of my accomplishments during Conquer the Wall, the 100-miler, was I did not take any ibuprofen the entire time. So the main guy I was talking to, he's like, wow, I didn't know that was a thing. And I said, yeah, ibuprofen, you know, we're already doing this very hard thing. And so your kidneys have trouble process. I said, I don't know all the science of it. There's a lot of research out there. There's more research coming. And there's a lot of discussion right now about ibuprofen, especially in endurance events. So not ibuprofen, period. It's ibuprofen specifically in endurance races, whatever sport it is. It doesn't matter whether it's running, triathlon, cycling, whatever. And this guy didn't know that. And I was like, what a cool topic that we could talk about. I know somebody who's a registered dietitian, and registered dietitians go through a whole lot of schooling to learn all the things. And we happen to have her on the show today, and that's Jen. And maybe she can talk about this, and we can talk about all of the things that, you know, you just, you don't know until you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we got to this point. That's how we got to this point here, Eric.
Yeah, and I've always been one, like with ibuprofen and especially ultra running, is when your whole body starts hurting and aching, you know, popping two ibuprofen does, it's kind of makes you feel better. It gives you a second wind. I've always heard that, you know, there's no races that give it out and there's a reason for that. But it's, you know, for me, it's always been, what could two pills hurt? I take it when I have a headache and stuff like that. So what could it hurt? But
yeah,
apparently there's studies out there that can say it can do damage to your body. So take it away.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to dig back into, and it's something that I kind of know about, but I did have to do research to remember. But there's several different ways that it can kind of mess with you if you take it for too long prior to your race, or if you take too much or take during your race. There's GI issues that can come with it, and that's because it kind of irritates the lining of your stomach. So, like, number one, if you're in an ultra, it's already kind of rough to keep your stomach settled. Not everybody has those issues, but if you're one of those people that's kind of prone to having those kind of stomach issues, this can actually make it worse. And then the main things though are like kidney concerns. So the way that ibuprofen works, and it's not just ibuprofen, there's this whole, NSAIDs are this whole class of drug, Aleve and aspirin and Motrin and Advil and all that kind of stuff. But they work on two different enzymes. The enzymes, they're called COX1 and COX2. So the first one, COX1, it actually makes you lose sodium. So it can cause you to excrete more sodium. So number one, you're going to pee more. So you're going to lose more water that way, and you're going to lose your sodium. So if you're focused on electrolyte balance and you're trying to intake that throughout the race, it's going to make it harder for you to stay hydrated. It's also going to make your kidneys work harder because you're filtering more.
So like, what if I just say, oh, well, Jen, why don't I just take more sodium? Then I get to have more ibuprofen, right?
You could think that way. You could think that way. And I don't know if your kidneys would agree with you.
Okay. Okay. So the risk of that then is, what happens to my kidneys? Like, what, they shrivel up? Do they run away?
No, they won't run away. But the harder your kidneys have to work, I mean, your kidneys are what filters your blood out. It's what takes the, helps with the electrolyte balance. And obviously in an ultra, you got to keep your electrolyte balance. You got to keep your hydration right if you want to keep going. Otherwise that triggers a whole bunch of other reactions in your body. Right. And you can't, if you're dehydrated, you're not going to be able to keep going. So if you're causing that imbalance of too much sodium, you're going to have, too much sodium in one area of your body, and other electrolytes are impacted by that sodium balance. So it kind of knocks everything out of whack. That didn't answer your question too much, but.
No, I mean, it really throws everything into one big roller coaster when you're.
It does.
Or it could, and everybody's going to be different for that, right? Possibly. Yeah. But that's one thing to keep in mind is if you are an ibuprofen popper, pill popper, and you're taking 2 to 3 throughout your whole ultra because it helps you and it keeps you feeling good. You're also fighting electrolytes the whole time, just like everybody else is. And it could make it that much harder. So when you're having issues, that could explain a lot of the issues you're having.
Right. And my thing is always like, so then how do you fix it? How during an ultra, if you realize like, ooh, I don't feel good, like I'm dehydrated. If you've already put NSAIDs in, your body's already going to continue losing sodium. So you're already, if you're dehydrated, now you're double behind because your body's already going to continue losing sodium because you've got the NSAID in your system. So it's just that much harder to correct the dehydration.
Okay. So, all right. So I have lots of questions. Now, vitamin I, which is what it's often called, right? Vitamin I. So let's say I've been taking vitamin I for years. I've never had any issues with it. I don't have those stomach issues. So what advice do you have if I'm that person that's like, well, I haven't had issues with it, so that should be fine, right?
Have you been running with vitamin I for years and years and years?
Well, I mean, you did say there's actually, to be fair, let's talk about the fact that there's more than one study out there that lean towards that side of it might not be that horrible, right?
That's true. It was really kind of interesting as I was pulling studies out is that I pulled a big one that is an observational. So it kind of looked at everybody else's results and it was pretty split on the one study definitely said like the people that took ibuprofen during this race had more instances of kidney injury at the end. But then you'd come over here and be like, this race, not so much. So it was kind of a mixed bag of people that were affected and people that weren't. So it's very possible that some of us are more impacted by using it. If you've used it for a while, you've never had any issues. And if you're used to using it, I think that's a big thing. Like if you know how your body works when you're on it, then that's a big reason to maybe be okay on it. Versus if you've never used it before, you're on your, I remember my first instance where I was like, ibuprofen sounds great, was my first 100 mile. I didn't know things would hurt. And I was like, oh, does somebody have any Advil? And somebody looked at me like, no. And I was like, okay. But you know, that would probably not be the best instance to start using it, is when you're 80 miles into your first long race and you've never had any experience. You don't know how your body's going to react. Like, even though things hurt, just kind of know that there may be other consequences that you're maybe getting yourself into.
Yeah. Your best bet would be a little cocaine at that point.
Great advice. Great advice. Okay. So, all right. So we know there's some research on both sides. And so you're saying that everybody is different. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, just like with everything else. Yeah. Everybody's different.
Everybody's different. I knew it was going to happen. I knew that's what we were going to get. And
But the bottom line is there is a risk, and it's a pretty big risk to your health.
Yeah.
So you need to weigh that risk, I think, yourself personally, whether it's really worth it. I mean, your body is made to fight those aches and pains in an ultra. Mm-hmm. It hurts. We want to take the easier way out and help it go away, help the pain go away. But
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
And I think that's the main thing, because like, you're right, it is demoralizing when everything hurts, but you have to think about, certainly there's times where it would be good to take the NSAID, but at the same time, it's like, I can deal with something hurting if this totally ruins my hydration status or whatever, like I can't fix it. So like, is it worth kind of risking that and just weighing that?
I would like to know what some of the elite runners do in the field, if it's something that they just completely stay away from, or if they dabble with the NSAIDs. I don't know.
I know one of the things that I've heard, because everybody knows I'm a huge fan of Jason Koop. I love Jason Koop and Koopcast, and he is a coach. And so he said if he's crewing for one of his athletes, and he does crew and train elite runners, he says if he's crewing for one and he finds ibuprofen in their bag, he just throws it away. So that's his solution. So there is a risk, because one, and I want to back up. So there's a mixed bag. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. But if I don't know if it's an issue for me, and I did this before, because Jess Eager, who Jen, you know, as well, who ran with you at your last race, you guys look like you had so much fun. She has been able, I did, big FKT, of course, the Mason Dixon, and she crewed me the entire time. And one of the things that she did was monitored my ibuprofen intake, which was really helpful because she's a nurse practitioner. So being a nurse practitioner, she can do it with a whole body of knowledge and experience behind her, and also helped me with some blood work to monitor any potential kidney damage. So anybody out there who is unsure of that, there are things that you can do to find out where you are. And guess what? There are medical professionals out there who can help you, who are not on, you know, instead of asking Dr. Google, you can go to practitioners and dietitians who can help you out with that. So she was a big help for understanding where I am. And so I've tried to wean myself away from it, and I'm excited to get a little bit further away. And so the other piece of that you talked about is there's a risk, right? There is a risk. And if there's a risk, then what are my other options if I'm not going to be partaking in vitamin I?
Fireball.
Okay.
No, so Tylenol's a common one people go to because it's not an NSAID. It works in a different way. So a lot of times they'll offer Tylenol at aid stations. It doesn't come with the same sort of risks. So could be an option to switch over.
Okay. So I've got some other things out there. I can use some Tylenol. I can use some, Eric?
No. You're right. But in my opinion, the bottom line is suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, suck it up.
If something's broken or bleeding or falling off, we should work through it.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, one of the things that I do with really big stuff is I do some more preventative care. My knees don't start to hurt and swell and get bad until 50, 75 miles in. But you know what? I do better if I use a patella strap from the very beginning. Then it pushes out when I start to get that knee pain, and then I never get it. Instead of getting it at mile 50, I'm going to suck it up until mile 50 and then take pain reliever. Like, why don't I just wear the patella strap, look like a weirdo from the start line, and then I can just not end up in that situation. So,
you're saying you wear a strap on the whole race?
I wear two straps on. Yes, my knees.
We'll continue on.
But I think that's a great approach because, I mean, really, if you think about it, the NSAIDs, the meds are kind of a Band-Aid to a situation. You found a way to solve the situation. And how much better is that for your body than being like, now I've aggravated this. Now it hurts. Let's just slap something on so I can get through. Like finding the solution to saying my body works better if I do this. I think that's just a ton better way to do it.
Yeah. And it was good having help along the way to try to, figure that out. But long term, I've been strength training pretty heavily in the past 2 years. That's been a big focus because the bigger my muscles are, the cooler I look, one. Two, I can definitely beat up Eric because he's tiny.
Yeah.
And then three, it takes the pressure off of my tendons and ligaments, which are my problem areas. It's my tendons, my ligaments, all that fascia tissue. That's where I get the swelling and the discomfort. So if I can strength train, if I can use some preventative measures, then I'm less likely to need those things. And then the risk isn't there, that I'm not using it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you really think they're your only problem areas? I mean,
this right here, this whole thing, not a problem area, actually. Wait, this right, hold on. How do I, this over there, that problem area.
Fair enough. All right. So we got past the I think we're getting past the ibuprofen issue, and that a lot of good info there. A lot of this stuff is things we, like you said, we assume that everybody knows, but maybe they don't. And it's stuff you should know.
Right. I thought it would be a cool topic to start with that one because I had this experience, have Jen on who can talk about it from the science part of it. Use that as a jumping off point to talk about what are all of those things that, you don't know until you know it. And I threw this out into the Facebook group. If you're not on the Facebook group, we do have one. If you're not on Facebook's, that sucks, but we are. So I put the question out there. What's something it took you, you didn't know? I was today years old when I learned X, right?
And you left that open-ended to life, not just running, right?
I did. And there were all kinds of answers, but there were some fun ones out there. Do you, Eric, how about you? What's something that you just didn't know you learned?
I want to point out, and it's one that somebody mentioned on that post. Mm-hmm. I probably learned it, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years ago. And it was one of those like, oh, crap, I just learned this. I should have known this. But it's the little arrow on your gas gauge. I'm pretty sure most people don't realize that cute little arrow is there showing you what side your gas tank is on.
Yeah.
So even though it's your vehicle and you know what side it's on, I have three vehicles. So I forget which one I'm in and where it's at. That arrow is on every single vehicle that we all own. And it's when I learned, I'm like, you son of a gun. I've been staring at that gauge the whole time. And I never knew that was an arrow.
Yeah, that was a great one. And I love that people learned it as they were in this conversation. So I learned it maybe like 5 years ago. But yeah, if you're ever in a rental car, any car that you own, if you look at the gas gauge, it has an E for empty, it has an F for full. There's a little gas tank in the middle, and there will be an arrow next to the gas tank. It's either on the left or on the right, and that arrow tells you which side your gas cap is on. Go out to your car right now. I promise you
it will be accurate. Not right now. No, stay. Just listen to the
show. Not yet. But I promise you it will be there, and it will be accurate, and some people don't know that, and it's a helpful thing to know.
Yeah.
Makes life easier.
If you, I don't know if you want to go over a couple more that were on there that stood out to you. One of the ones that wasn't on there that I want to bring, I've been thinking all week about stuff related to running that I could, you know, share with, in this show and be a part of. And I'm not a very smart man, Grace. I couldn't come up with much. But the one thing I did learn, and a lot of people probably already know it, but it's kind of useful information when it comes to running and fueling, is that meat is harder to digest than other foods when you eat meat. So, and what I'm saying that for is, like, if you like even your bacon or your hamburger in aid station, things like that, because I'm a hamburger fan in ultras, I like it. But one thing you might want to consider is that it's harder for your body to digest that than other simple foods. So when you're in a race or running or doing any hard activity, we all know our guts are already in despair most of the time, right? You don't want them working 10 times harder to digest the hamburger patty that you just had to eat because it tasted good. So you might want to consider that at your next aid station in an ultra.
Yeah.
That's the best one I had.
I think this is a great one, and I'm going to hand it over to you, Jen, because you are a registered dietitian. But this is one that I do think when people switch over either to running or to ultra that they don't know in the beginning. They think woods, they think trail mix. And that's another one that your belly has a hard time with, is nuts and dried fruit. And so, Jen, do you want to talk a little bit about what foods are easier versus harder for your stomach to digest while you're in the middle of, and you have run 100 miler. So, you know, you've been through this yourself. So do you mind talking about that quick?
Yeah. And that was a really good one, Eric. I like that one. And it, you can kind of use those things too, in different ways. Like if you know something's going to take longer to digest, it can be useful if you plan it correctly. But yeah, I mean, things that are faster to digest are going to give you that kick of energy quicker. So if you're looking to push for the next 5 miles, grabbing something that's a simple sugar, like, you know, they always have the Oreos, they always have the Twizzlers, they always have fruit. Fruit's always my go-to, even though there's lots of fiber in it and it is low in calories, it works for me. Versus if you get things that are high in fat. So both of those, the meats and the nuts, also they're high in fat and they're high in fiber, and they are just harder to digest. So your body's not going to get to that energy for a while. So if you've got, you can stack them, you can have a quick energy now for the first 5 miles, but also take some of the trail mix because, you know, that's going to hit your system in another 45 minutes. You know, you can kind of learn how to tweak that kind of a stuff. But yeah, when you're looking at that table, you know, the bacon and the I haven't had pizza in a while at an aid station, but something like that, the nuts, things like that are not going to give you a boost for right now. They're going to help to fill your stomach up, but you're not going to get that energy kick, and you're probably kind of going to feel sluggish for a bit versus going for the candy and the gummy bears and, you know, the fruit and that kind of stuff, pretzels. They're going to be quicker to get in your system than the other stuff. The one thing I did just have for the first time at the, Jess and I did the Seneca Creek 50K or marathon or 50K a couple weeks ago. They had, I have to remember exactly what it was, bacon, bacon grilled cheese with pickles. Is that what it was? The pickles. The pickles. That was delicious. That was really, really tasty. I mean, no, it wasn't grilled cheese. It was peanut butter. It was bacon, peanut butter, and pickles. Because I love a good bacon grilled cheese. But yeah, the peanut butter and the pickles, I was like, well, this just sounds gross enough that I have to try it. It was actually really good.
That's awesome. Where was I recently? I had a tortilla, peanut butter, banana, and pickle all rolled up together.
Very nice.
And it was delicious. Yeah. I don't remember where I was, but it was really good. Oh, it was at Conquer the Wall. Yeah, I was with Tess, and she kept just pointing things out to me, and I just put it all together into a roll and made a banana pickle roll.
Banana pickle roll. There you go.
Yeah, that was good. But I think that is something that, you know, you don't realize in the beginning. I remember when I first started running, it was no. I'm not going to eat before I run. That's who does that? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I brought my own gels.
Yeah.
I was like, there's food here? People eat food?
Yeah. You're not supposed to swim 30 minutes before, you know, or you're not supposed to eat 30 minutes before you swim. And I said that backwards.
Yeah.
I'm working on talking, Eric. It's hard.
I'm proud of you. You're doing great.
Thank you. Just give me another year. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not supposed to eat 30 minutes before you swim. So why would you eat while you're running? That's crazy talk. And and then you get into this crazy sport and you realize that you have to eat, or at least you should, you know, not eating puts you into bonk land, and that's not fun. There were some other fun ones in here. Jen, what was one for you that you didn't know? Something that you didn't know in the beginning of running, and then you were like, oh, that's a thing.
I didn't know anything in the beginning of running. I thought of today, though. I thought of today, though, something that Jess pointed out when we were running the other week. I have one race vest that I bought before the 100 miler because I was like, oh, I'm going to run 100 miles. Maybe I should have a vest. Never worn one of those before. I bought it on clearance. It's great. But my bladder leaks, the water bladder leaks. So if you know, Grace, I always have it wrapped up in a towel or something in my bag. So I was getting it all ready and I put it in my little towel and I put it in my bag. And Jess was like, why do you have a towel? I'm like, well, it leaks. So I have my towel because I don't like my back getting wet. And she's like, why don't you just buy another bladder? So yes, could have done that. And she pointed out, you know, if your bladder dies in the middle of a long race, you're kind of done. And that was something that I'd never thought of before. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I should have a backup bladder if mine already leaks. Yeah. So yeah.
You know, what else works great? And I know bladders aren't expensive, but yeah. And yeah, you can buy a new bladder, but if it is just like a pinhole, super glue works phenomenal. Mm-hmm. For stuff like that, or even a rip in the side or whatever, but like the bladder material is made for super glue to adhere to and solid seal. I've done that with hydration bottles of my own. I don't know where they got pinholes in them, but I've got a couple, and super glue just fixes them forever.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was going to say, that's Eric, my today years old.
That's my today years old. I was today years old when I learned you can use super glue.
Yeah.
Fix your bladders.
Fix your bladders.
Yeah, I mean, it melts that soft rubber right together.
Yeah.
Boom.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So there were some other really good ones on here. There was some running stuff, some non-running stuff. I love this one that Sherry posted. She said, slowing down and enjoying the run is always time well spent. But she said, I am not my pace. Mm-hmm. And I just love that one. I am not my pace. So I think when you can get to that point in your running and you learn, oh my gosh, I'm not my pace. My pace does not define me. Then you truly get to figure out, you know, what do I really enjoy about this sport? And I think that is slightly different for everybody. You know, for some people, it's more the community. For some people, it's solace, it's solitude. But I think letting go of the pace allows you to start to figure that out.
That's really, really good. I like that a lot. I didn't see her comment on there. And that really resonates with running through the pregnancy, because that's definitely something you got to let go of. You know, my 50K time's not the same. But you know, I keep reminding, like, that's okay. The first 50K I ran in December, I wore a shirt that said I'm something about usually being faster, or I'm much faster when I'm not pregnant. And I was like, this shirt makes me feel better. Like, I'm not usually this slow, guys. But, you know, it's just kind of like embracing that in different stages. You're not going to be as fast, whether it's pregnancy or whether it's injury or whether you're coming back from just being off for a while. Like, it's hard to do, but that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that one. Yeah. I had to throw that one in there, Eric. What do you got? What's yours next?
I have a list here that I want to go over before we finish. But my next one would be, and I've said this on the show already, I've said it to all my people, and this is, Rhoda Smoker gets all the credit for this one, but use socks as mittens.
Sock, like, mittens.
Yes, because for one, my hands, they get really cold when the fingers are not in contact with each other. So gloves do not work, right? You're the same way, I believe.
Yep.
But socks, there's different, you know, you can buy high quality merino wool socks. They breathe. They don't hold in the heat, but they keep you warm and your fingers are all happy and touching, and there's different colors. I mean, I think you already said it is like a, I think it is a thing you can buy. Well, no, we were talking about socks in general at one time, but anyway, sock mittens for your hands should be a thing. And everybody has socks laying around everywhere. So if you go buy a pair of gloves or mittens these days, you're nuts, because you should just put a pair of socks on your hands.
Yeah.
There. Boom.
I like it. That was a good addition. Sock. I just tried out a new combination yesterday on the bike, and it's a pretty good one, but I do support sock mittens. I gave it a go. And I tried to give you credit, and you wouldn't take it. You gave it.
And the beauty of it is, your hands get warm, as mine often do, and that's a good thing. Like, everything's staying warm. They crumple up into these little balls, and you just throw them right in your pocket. Yeah. Like, they're not big and bulky. They don't take up much space.
See, Matt, don't try to bring this up, buddy. He said, "Sounds like flip mitts. I want to try them out." No, it is not the same. Oh. Inspector Gadget over here, who does not want to use anything unless it is a cool new gadget. Yes.
Yeah.
I called him Inspector Gadget.
Flip mitts. What socks are when you need to flip them?
Flip mitts. I have tried them before. It is not the same. You can't, like, ball up your hand. You don't have to say sorry. He said sorry. Yeah. I just wanted an opportunity to call you Inspector Gadget.
I'm glad he apologized. No, and that's the other thing. Like, even socks, like, you can ball them up and hold them in your hand, and it causes you to hold proper hand form when you're running, because hand form is a thing. You don't want to clench too hard. You don't want to just floppy like this running, right?
Like what?
Like flop them all around.
Okay.
When you're holding on to something, try holding on to a Pringle. You don't want to break the Pringle, right? But you don't want to drop the Pringle. That's how you should be holding your hands. Same with socks. You don't want to drop your sock, because then you'll get a cold hand possibly in the near future. Sock mittens, man. It's Rhoda Smoker's idea, but there's more to this. Grace, I'm going to retire off of this idea one way or another.
Okay.
There's something else I learned. There's hand form.
Yeah, it is. It's a thing.
Mine sucks.
You don't want to be stressing, using calories and stressing your muscles out by squeezing your hands too much. And you don't want to be flopping all over.
So I'm mid. My hands go like this.
That's kind
of cool. Don't even notice it, but
rock
when I'm running,
on thing. That's awesome.
They just do this, and I can't stop it. They just cramp, and that's what they do.
Yeah, but your nail form is always on point, because especially when you don't have a baby around inside of you.
Yeah, I can go for those.
But normally, because you do your nails and they look amazing, and you have especially done some really cool ones, because you go down and you do the Disney Marathon or Disney Half or both?
Both and all, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They have the ones that they okay, rabbit trail. So the marathon weekend has a 5K, 10K, half and full. So you can do any which and all of them. I've done all of them, but mostly I do the half and the full. And I do have themed fingernails for all of them.
Oh my gosh. And you dress up.
I do dress up.
I love it.
So Jen, I have a really good one for you that since you're expecting. You ready?
Yes.
I have a whole list here, but I will say that this isn't all my knowledge. I cheated and used Google for fun stuff for tonight.
I love it.
This fits so perfectly. Did you know that lactic acid makes breast milk taste sour?
Oh, I did know that, actually. Yeah. But that's a bummer for the kid, you know, because that's all it's going to be getting. I know.
One smart kid. But there might be some other people listening that didn't know that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting one.
Well, it's interesting because, and the things that you eat, like if you eat asparagus, breast milk's going to taste like asparagus. So if your kid doesn't like it, that's why.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right. Here's a quiz for both of you and everybody listening. I'll give you five seconds for your answer. What is the optimal race day temperature?
55.
Okay, Jen.
I was going to say 45. The 45 to 50, but it depends on the sun versus rain.
Jen's smarter than you, Grace. She hit
the nail. No, it's 55.
45.
It's 55. I'll find a research that says 55, and then I'll be right.
45. That was impressive, Jen. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Matt, are you saying 45 just because I called you Inspector Gadget?
Jen answered and heard the right answer. Did you guys know that when you're running, your heart could squirt blood 30 feet? The pressure on your heart? Yeah.
Ew.
I know, but it's kind of interesting. That's pretty far. That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure. That actually makes me cringe a little bit.
Yeah.
You needed to know this. Sorry.
In case you ever need to squirt your blood 30 feet.
I mean, it could be self-defense. I don't, if you know, this comes to worse.
That'll scare him away.
Yeah.
That'll scare away any attacker.
All right. This is all stuff you're learning for the first time today. That was the point of the show. You're welcome.
Thank you for all that. Right.
I'm pretty sure this is true. You ready for this one?
Uh-huh.
Your feet can produce up to a pint of sweat each day. Ooh. A pint.
That's I don't know about my feet.
Do you have perfect feet? Your feet are just beautiful. They don't do that thing?
No, I mean, my feet are always cold. They don't sweat.
Oh. They perspire, I bet.
They probably do, but it probably takes quite a while. They're usually pretty cold. I get to have Raynaud's in my hands and my feet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I hope I never get there. It's just bad in my hands.
Yeah, the front of my feet turn white. It's super fun.
All right. I only have one more. I saved the best for last. And then it's on you guys to finish out this show. Breasts move in a figure eight pattern when we run, not like up and down.
Okay.
Your mind's blown. Yeah. Think about it.
Good to know.
I'm trying to picture this. I guess it's
everybody accurate. Everybody's trying to picture it right now.
It's how it works. I mean, men, women, whatever. But it's not just a bouncy bounce thing here. It's a straight pattern. Yeah. So
now you've just created, like, everybody's going to go out tomorrow and watch all the runners going by and try to.
Yeah. Well, all the women are just going to be looking.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're going to throw that whole pattern off as soon as you look down, because that's not natural.
Yeah, exactly.
You, if you record, have somebody else record you running, and then you can watch your breasts back.
Got it. Make sure you track them.
You'll see
number
the track
one priority
of the figure eight, and both of them going together. It's
tomorrow.
Gonna
be- Bring us back, Jen. What else? What do you got?
That's all I got. I'm out.
What do you got?
Oh, what do I got? What do I got? Well, one thing, things that we've learned, right? Things that we've learned through running. KT tape. I've learned KT tape.
Yeah.
I love KT tape now. And I've never used it outside of, well, ever, actually. I've never used it. And then have seen other people use it. first used it in the Philly marathon because girls I was with, Rebecca and Terry, they were using it, and I was like, oh, KT tape's probably a good idea, being pregnant, having other things that are getting bigger and falling over and just needing other things. So yes, I've learned the art of KT tape, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah I learned that after my first 50k. I ran I ran my first half marathon, and then 2 weeks later, I ran my first 50K because I thought that I was like, it'd be fine. I can do that. And my IT bands were not happy. And I used Google to diagnose everything and figure out what I should do. And one of the suggestions was KT tape. And I thought that sounded stupid. There's no way that taping my skin is going to help my knee feel better. That makes no sense. And then I used it and it instantly made my knee feel better.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Those little buggers are crazy.
It's and wild.
On the lines of preventative maintenance type stuff, I will shout out nippies, nipple coverings are, I mean, I know a lot of people use squirrel's nut butter lube on their nipples and things like that, but like nippies are sticky coverings. You place right in your nipple, they last like for a week and you don't have to worry about it. So whether you chafe or not, just put those suckers on there.
Yeah.
If you're in a longer run and you don't have to worry about that. It's just one less thing you ever have to be concerned about.
I feel like we've talked about this several times before.
I'm a strong believer of nippies.
And you're pushing hard for a sponsorship, I think.
Well, what I love the most, Grace, is that they stay, and it doesn't hurt to like peel them off, but they stay on forever. Like I can run a 100 miler, I can get a shower, go to work, come home, get a shower, and like 4 days
later. Are you wearing them right now?
4 days later, Becky will just find one sitting on the soap thing. And I'm sorry, I didn't know, but like they stay on forever. No, I'm free and clear right now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but no, they are a great product, and they're dirt cheap. So like if you're doing getting into this ultra stuff, man, buy a pack of 30 of them and throw those suckers on your nipples.
Okay. Good to know. For the record, I have never had that problem.
So that's awesome. Right.
Gentlemen, listen. Ladies, you don't necessarily.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the whole sports bra thing that changes the game. I don't really know or care.
I think you should wear a sports bra.
I was going to say, I think then that's what you need to try.
Burning nipples is not a good feeling.
I think that's a great trail name, though.
It's a good trail name. But I prefer not to have them when I get done with a long run. And Nippy solves that problem.
Yeah, there's your commercial right there, man.
I know. They know. They're going
to
reach out.
Reach out to them. Mm-hmm. So the next one is from Steph Daniels, who just put this into the chat, which I got this from Trish, my friend Trish Young. KT tape for preventing chafing from your vest, from your vest or from your sports bra. So Trish, she would put KT tape, two strips along her back. And then one like right at underneath the breast line at the sports bra in the front. And, that little bit of KT tape can prevent that chafing. Mm-hmm. Now I will also say that I've tried to use KT tape for the same purpose for sometimes I'll get a pair of shoes, like my Saucony Peregrines. If I'm in something really, really long, the back of my heel will start to rub a little bit on my left foot only, but I love my Sauconys. And I tried the same thing and it didn't work. And Eric Ulibera told me to try Leukotape, and that worked really, really well. Although Leukotape sucks to take off. So I don't know if I would want that on my chest or my back, but on my heel, it worked pretty good.
Maybe on your nipple.
Not going to try it. I don't. It's just unnecessary. So, I mean, I'm not for unnecessary taping.
Yeah. No, right. KT tape has a lot of uses for sure.
Yeah,
it does. Now, let's switch gears a little bit. I liked another one that was brought up in the Facebook group. Two marks on the tree means turn. And there are a couple of different images, you know, you can Google this and find trail blazes, how to read trail blazes. And there's a couple different ways that trails will be blazed. But once you learn how to read those trail blazes, it makes it much, much easier to navigate trails to know where you're going. So that's something that is really helpful to learn. Some blaze like this, that means nothing if you're listening on the audio, but I'd say if you don't know how to read trail blazes, and there's a couple of tricky ones, like it'll tell you, the blazes will tell you if you need to cross a stream, for example. And so, you know, oh, I got to look across the stream to find the next blaze. It's not the end of the trail. There is a blaze that tells you it's the end of the trail. So, really helpful to know how to read those blazes. That was another one that I saw into the chat. Okay, Jen, back to you. What's your next one?
And you'll have to help me with the name because, pumice stones for calluses on your feet. So I always had this issue with my both big toes, but mostly the one on the left. That I would get this nasty blister under the callus of my big toe. And, you know, it just hurts, which is fine. It can hurt and whatever. And when it's done, I'll pop it. But it's a really big problem that I couldn't figure out how to get rid of till I read the Fix Your Feet book in the fall. Mm-hmm. And they suggested getting pumice stones. And I had even, like, shaved the callus off with, like, knives and scissors and whatever else I can get my hands on. And that didn't even work. So using the pumice stone every couple days actually keeps the callus down and hasn't been a problem.
Keeps the callus down. There's a song in there somewhere now. there's a song in there, I think.
Along with the burning nipples.
Yes, with burning nipples.
Yeah.
Well, there were some great ones in the Facebook group, and keep sharing those lessons because you never know who you might help out. I mean, I learned something today, and that is about crazy glue.
Figure eight?
Yeah.
I like the figure eight.
Yeah, I did learn that. Not sure it was helpful at all. But yeah. Not sure that one was helpful, but that's okay. All right, Jen, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, Easter weekend. Whoops. Easter weekend, we're hopefully running a little, gardening a lot, maybe. We have a big old garden with like sheep and chickens and all that jazz out in the back, and they need like taken care of. So hopefully some of that, and hopefully eating some delicious dinner and cake and candy on Sunday.
Yum.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric Burning Nipples Kosek.
Oh, I didn't even see that. God, you just pointed that out. Why do you do that? Yes, a little bit of the same. I mean, we're going to have a family dinner on Sunday, running hopefully whatever I can. Lauren has a softball game on Monday. So, yeah, nothing too crazy. Next weekend, I will be at Eagleton Trail Challenge set up with Idiot Runner. This is my first time I'm going to be like have a setup like, what do you call it? A store? A thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
A shopette.
Yeah. Like a tent with Idiot Runner gear. So I'm going down to Eagleton next weekend. So that's exciting. I know yes about this weekend, but yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Fabulous.
But yeah, that's about it. Another pretty low key weekend. I gotta figure out what I want to do. I'm kind of smelling like Black Forest in the fall, maybe. I don't know. Just maybe something like that. Uh-huh. But we'll see. Yeah, Booth. Thank you, Matthew Smith. You did one thing right tonight, and he corrected what my thing's going to be. It's going to be a Booth.
Good job. Man, Matt's never going to listen again. You're wonderful.
Oh, man.
It was Grace, good to see you on Saturday.
What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, what am I doing? I have Friday off, and so I thought I would do a little scouting, a little trail scouting, and since I have Friday off, I was like, who do I know who might come with me? And so I reached out to Marisa, and we are going to do some scouting on Friday.
That girl gets around, man.
Yeah.
Man, jealous.
It's an opportunity to go running with her. So I'm very pumped for Friday. And then I have no idea what I'm doing Saturday and Sunday. Probably spending, quality time with my husband.
Of course.
It's going to be Saturday and Sunday.
Nice.
Very nice.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. You two have a wonderful Easter, and everybody listening, have a wonderful Easter. And we will be back Monday evening for another special show.
Right? And we'll see if Eric talks about his nipples again. So thanks, everybody, for listening into that. Thanks, Jen, for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend. Thanks.
See you. Bye.
Bye. See ya.